door is open, the welcome mat is out, and this is It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio. My name is Edie Weinstein, and together we'll be exploring what relationships are really all about. Sometimes they're light and playful, sometimes messy and challenging. Our guests are transformational teachers and authors, artists and musicians in this realm that makes life so sweet. So sit back and relax and enjoy the ride.
Hi, this is Edie Weinstein, and you're welcoming you to It's All About Relationships. My guest tonight is somebody that I've not yet met, but we were connected through a dear mutual friend, Toby Zeligowski, and I'm sure she's going to be beaming like a proud parent when she hears this interview. My guest is a gentleman from Ithaca, New York. His name is J. Pierre Reville, and he wrote a book called Birding in the Face of Terror. When I first saw the book, I said, what the heck is this about? You know, it's quite a an unusual title. And when I opened it, I found myself being drawn into the characters, to the story, and I told him it took several months for me to read it, and I'm a voracious reader, but I wanted to savor the book. So he's going to be telling us what this is about. And also, the show tonight is, we're calling it, Is God Trapped in Nature's Body? We're going to be exploring the idea of God in all things. So, JP, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Edie. This is a true pleasure.
Oh, well, it's going to be our audience's pleasure, too. So can you tell us a little bit, I mean, you call yourself a pantheist, and a lot of the book is about that, God and all things. Can you first define pantheism?
Pantheism, I find as kind of a new rendering of a very old ancient spirituality that really predates any even concept of God, and it I see it as something that we are kind of cycling back into through the development of our theological ideas, and I mean this is something I we'd need several half hour segments to talk about, but
we'll keep it simple.
Yeah, I definitely see it as a coming back to the kind of very simple animism that that humanity first developed before the agricultural revolution and whatnot. Only now we're seeing it through a kind of an emerging perspective called non-duality, where we don't see little individual spirits in this and that. We're kind of coming to a sense of the universe itself as a unity, as a wholeness to it, and we are all exactly that. I mean, we are aspects of that. Nature doesn't, assemble us like a car on an assembly line with putting a bunch of parts together. We grow from a single cell, within nature and become what we are, and everything that we need to live grows from that wholeness within that wholeness. And it's something that we had to lose. We had to lose that sense of wholeness in order to develop a finely tuned sense of self. And that's really the only way that, humanity has been able to evolve and survive. And frankly, we don't really have any business surviving in this world without it, the physical prowess of other animals. And so we've developed culture, we've developed, theology, we've thought long and hard about where we came from, why we're here, how we got here, and all those thoughts are kind of circling back around and leading us to see that we are exactly what created us. We are aspects of that wholeness. Mm-hmm. So to say that all is God is an acknowledgement of, is really another way of saying all is one, all is the same intelligence that, you know, keeps us, you know, orbiting around the sun precisely and keeps everything in total clockwork through the universe and just is the literal first and final cause of everything that happens. So it's really kind of coming back to animism, but with a sense of unity rather than a sense of fragmentation. And
it sounds kind of heady when we talk about it that way. My first introduction to, you know, bring it, you know, back to the heart too. My first introduction to pantheism was a classic book called Stranger in a Strange Land. Have you ever read it? Robert Heinlein book, and the signature line from it, if you remember, is "Thou art God," and it was a way of acknowledging that everyone and everything is God incarnate. Is that part of what your teaching, your practice, your work is about? Is acknowledging the divine in all things and all beings?
Absolutely. I didn't say the word divine yet, but that's a very, very key topic. Yeah. And I mean that he took that straight from Advaita Vedanta, you know, thou art that is it's a marvelous phrase that enables you to really, it's so multidimensional. You can really point it in any direction at anything and come to a union, you know, whether it's another person, whether it's an object, whether it's the universe itself, you know, the entirety, it enables us to recognize the unity of anything that we want to put together. His use of that in the book was phenomenal. I wouldn't say it was a direct influence because it had been a number of years, but he definitely fits within kind of the pantheon of what I've drawn from.
Pantheism.
There's a wonderful list that you'd find on my website that's definitely part of it.
And speaking of your website, we want to direct people there. It's hereticasylum.org. HERETICASYLUM.org. What will people find on the asylum?
Well, they will find, first of all, I think of it as, you know, obviously first it's the portal to my writing. I enabled people to buy Birding in the Face of Terror. I have a shorter novelette that is only in e-form that is available on there as well. And then I've just kind of sprinkled in my shorter writing that I've done over the years, most of it being in the last couple of years, kind of building this theme. And I'm really just starting to realize my ultimate goal for this is to incorporate it with other people's work, and to make this kind of a nexus of information and inspiration for people who are, you know, called along a certain line and feel, you know, want to learn more about pantheism and all the related, you know, theologies. I consider myself pantheist influenced, but one of the feature articles you'd see there is called Pan-Perennialism. Perennialism is a whole other topic that involves really just kind of finding that synthesis of knowledge and wisdom from all possible sources, all the major religions, science, the cutting edge science of today is starting to corroborate the same ideas. And the perennialism is strongly influenced by Aldous Huxley, and his writings.
We want to talk more about that after the break, which we're going to go to now. Speak more about your influences and then about your marvelous book called Birding in the Face of Terror. So, folks, again, it's Edie Weinstein with It's All About Relationships, and my guest is J.P. Revelle. Catch you on the other side of the break.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
Your health is your wealth. Your prosperity is tied directly into your personal energy and health. Are you ready for abundance? Dr. Anastasia Chopoulos is the scientific healer, author, speaker, and teacher dedicated to helping you live your most energized and healthy life. Go to www.scientifichealer.com now and sign up for Anastasia's free, powerful healing audio and weekly newsletter. Let's get you going with training, mentoring, and support to energize you to your healthiest and most abundant life.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to the next portion of It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and my guest is J.P. Revelle, who's the author of Birding in the Face of Terror. Again, when I saw the title, I wasn't quite clear what it was about, but it didn't take very long into it before I knew that he was writing about an event that will, you know, an infamous event. So you want to tell us about that day that you wrote about?
Sure. So the book centers around September 11th, 2001. And I was about as far away from New York City as you could get while still being in North America. And I was taking, I was a motor coach driver for a company based out of California. And I had taken a group of bird watchers up to a couple areas that took me out of cell phone range at the time. I found out about the attacks in New York and Washington about 2 hours after they happened, just by a little bit of information trickling in from a phone conversation that the group leaders had with their people. And it created a kind of a mini drama of its own in trying to find out, trying to connect with the greater world, dealing with a sense of isolation that I had that day, very, you know, logistically. And in writing the book, it really becomes a metaphor for that isolation of the self from from the other, you know, from the world, and something that I was probably very deeply affected with during those years due to circumstances that are quite clear in the book. So
now, interestingly, one of the characters, Pedro, who was the bus driver, may have felt isolated, but Joey, on the other side of the country, was right smack dab in the middle of it and was anything but isolated from the events. Was that another aspect of yourself that you were writing about?
It probably was. I think it was the aspect of myself that wanted to be front and center and wanted to have some connection to the actual events. And that's a good observation, because as you've noted, there's a ton of parallels drawn between the characters. I think the doppelganger was a good way to put it. It enabled me. I struggled with this book for a long time. In fact, it was on the shelf for about 5 or 6 years altogether, because I didn't know how to handle trying to describe the New York aspects of what happened that day. I mean, I was crafting what I thought was a fairly interesting story about being isolated from, you know, from the current of world events. but it really lacked that tactile sense of what it was like to be there. So I really threw myself into a lot of research and tried to create a very realistic scenario of what it would be like to be. He actually never got to New York City. He's in New Jersey, looking across the river at the Trade Center attacks. So it was the book is mostly autobiographical. When people ask me about that, I say it's a little bit of gonzo journalism. Like it everything in there really happened. It just I threw some fictional elements into it and played with the time sequence of some things, but everything in there is very everything that happens out west, at least, is very autobiographical.
And folks, what I gleaned from the book and what JP is talking about is that I did a book review, and what I observed from reading the book is that there were two sets of characters, one on the West Coast, one on the East Coast, living out this day simultaneously, except the one on the West Coast was doing it. You know, the events had happened 3 hours earlier on the East Coast, and he was just catching up. And each one of them had their demons and their gremlins to contend with. The other theme of the book that I really loved was the wings, that we're talking about birds. The birding, title comes from the idea that he was taking a group of bird watchers on a tour, and also the birds that crashed into the towers and the Pentagon and the structure in Pennsylvania. So there were a lot of winged images and a lot of freedom images. And then toward the end of the book, a lot more about the pantheistic theology. So it's an amazing book to immerse yourself in. So JP, how do you think we would live if we knew that the face of God was in everyone and everything? What would your ideal world look like if we lived like that?
I think we would be much more cooperative and kind to each other. I mean, that everything that the secular humanist movement is really trying to draw to the fore now, as we kind of grow out of our monotheistic theologies for the most part. I mean, even the progressive people who still follow Jesus and still subscribe to those religions are doing so in a way that is emergent. It's mm-hmm. It's coming out of a sense of being isolated from God, and God is becoming a very visceral aspect of life rather than something that we're going to experience, after we die. Mm-hmm. I think that's essentially where we're headed, is the ability to see that wholeness and that oneness and that love. God is love has a very, very tangible meaning in pantheism, and again, it's a little bit involved for this venue, and I write about it quite a bit on the website, but it has a very deep meaning that isn't removed. It isn't a transcendent experience. It's right here and right now. And
so
I just think that we would learn to be able to see that in the other, to be able to see the commonality of the self and the other, would influence our politics, would influence our environmental outlook, deep ecology. Becomes a very tangible thing when you feel that basically the world is part of your body. It's mm-hmm. it's just you think twice, you think three times about your actions and your impact, your carbon footprint, and I think that it is going to enable us to think more holistically. An important word. Mm-hmm. Think about processes that begin with the whole and filter down to parts, not parts that assemble themselves into a whole, because that's a very unnatural way of looking at the world. The world mm-hmm. is a whole that has parts.
More than the sum of our parts, or something. I forget what that terminology is. but it's not just the idea that we are all one. In Judaism, there's a prayer called the Shema. It's a signature prayer that I grew up saying, and I still say it automatically now. But the translation is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." But I had a rabbi.
I love that.
here's an even better, a better terminology or better description. Rabbi Rami Shapiro, who was my rabbi in Florida for a number of years, talks about the idea that, what does he say? Hear, O Israel, that which we call God is oneness itself. And that sounds like it's in alignment with what you're talking about, that it's all, you know, that it's oneness itself, that there is no separation. So if we lived that way, would we feel like in the book, the character Joey was somebody's angel, that he came to someone's rescue. Do you feel like we're responsible to be angels to each other like he was?
I think that sense of responsibility would come more naturally. I believe that it would happen more often without thinking, and it does even without fancy ideas like pantheism. I mean, it just happens when we don't have time to stop and think. Like a lot of what happened at Ground Zero on September 11th was done without thinking. I mean, people just reacted, and that's actually I think some fascinating things happened that day, and this gets brought up in the book, you know, that some things of true beauty happen when we don't let our thoughts get in the way and just act from the heart because someone is suffering and we feel that suffering. And it kind of pushes away those concerns that we had about, you know, getting the work on time or getting the turkey in the oven or whatever those little things that we have to worry about. Like when someone is suffering and we actually feel it as our own, we are moved. I mean, it isn't even a choice often. So I think there are some interesting things that you could draw from that too about what happened in New York that day.
Do you think we're hardwired to help?
I think ultimately we are, because ultimately we know that we aren't just isolated, you know, bags of meat and bones. I think we know that we're more than just the organism, that the organism is an aspect of a much greater organism. And I don't know that it's, I think that some of the things that we think of as just, you know, altruism or whatever are really, we're moved by something greater than ourselves, whether we want to call that God. You know, so we've had a number of years of abuse of that idea and, you know, under the name of God, and we're very hesitant to do that now, but casting that now in a pantheistic sense, I think, enables us to draw that from ourselves rather than from something that we think of as outside of ourselves. And I think that gives us the immediacy that we need to actually make that part of our lives rather than just something that we do, something that we be rather than do.
I was just going to say that. It's about, I have goosebumps, and goosebumps are my truth barometer. So as we're closing out the show, I invite everybody to go to JP's website, hereticasylum.org, and find his, you know, a way to order this marvelous book that will send your heart soaring as well, and looking at all of his other writings, and just, you know, learn to experience God as, you know, as oneness, and each other as part of that oneness. So I thank you so much for being on the show, JP. It made my night.
Well, I really thank you for having me, and I would love to do it again if it's ever possible. And
absolutely, I've had return guests.
Thank everything that brought this together, because this has been a fulfillment of a long time dream. So thank you.
I'm glad to help make your dreams come true. So, folks, right. If you want to find out more about what I do, go to my website, which is Optimystical, OPTI-mystical, MYSTICAL.com. And the music, which I forgot to tell you about, that ushers us into the show and leads us out of the show, was created by my friends Rick Danzine and Deborah Lee of Lyra Project. LYRAproject.com is their website. And if you go to the Vivid Life website, you'll see a review that I did of their CD called Goddess. And the song Only You, which is our theme music, is on the CD as well. And you get to hear the whole song, and you get to hear what's really behind it. So until next time, I thank you, I bless you, I love you. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us here on It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio, opening your heart and mind to the possibilities that are there for you to create a life that is filled with love. Until next week, wishing you healthy and fulfilling relationships and sending hugs from here.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
Your health is your wealth. Your prosperity is tied directly into your personal energy and health. Are you ready for abundance? Dr. Anastasia Chopoulos is the scientific healer, author, speaker, and teacher dedicated to helping you live your most energized and healthy life. Go to www.scientifichealer.com now and sign up for Anastasia's free powerful healing audio and weekly newsletter. Let's get you going with training, mentoring, and support to energize you to your healthiest and most abundant life.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Yourself.